Treasury Star Parade. With Al Goodman and his orchestra, the Scala Cantorum, under the direction of Hugh Ross and Mr. Henry Hull, in H.S. Craft's dramatic monologue, The Bishop of Minster.
This is Henry Hull, ladies and gentlemen, in another of the transcribed programs brought to you by the Treasury Department. Today, I'd like you to make a little visit with me back, oh so far, back into the year 1938. We're in a quiet old world church in a quiet old world town. The soft light filters down on the bowed heads of the congregation from a dozen or more lovely stained glass windows. The altar is banked with flowers, for this is Easter, and this is the cathedral of the Bishop of Minster. The bishop himself, white-haired and benign, sits with slightly bowed head as the music of the organ fills the cathedral and the choir begins to sing.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
We are in a church, and yet those few notes of music penetrate the walls, and there is a restless movement in the congregation. For despite Nazi terror and tyranny, the voice of victory is heard throughout Central Europe, even in Germany itself. It may be the voice of a widow in whispered protest against the useless death of her husband, the voice of a child resisting the commands of the new teacher, the voice of a worker slowing up the manufacture of the tools of death. Or it may be the voice of a parish priest, or even a bishop, tired of note-writing diplomats, unable longer to endure the endless, senseless suffering. The bishop rises and steps forward to his pulpit, stands quietly for a moment before he speaks.
For many years, I have stood before you preaching the word of God. Each Sunday, I spoke a sermon, and each sermon had a text. But today I cannot preach a sermon, nor can I cite you a text. The words I have written will bring you no comfort. I want to talk to you rather than preach to you. I come to you in the full warmth of confession, for now I know that you, who have so patiently listened to me these many years, now you are my leader. Last Sunday, in the prayer to God for the care of the ill and the weary, for the maimed and the tortured, for the oppressed and the persecuted, we bowed our heads and prayed for the sons of Israel. We prayed the Almighty in his omnipotence to be merciful to the Jews of our fatherland in their misery of body and soul. On that Sunday, your Bishop of Münster was visited by the police. He was informed that unless he refrained from including the Jews in his prayers, certain punishment would follow. Today, I pray not for the Jews. I pray for the German people. It may be the last prayer that you shall hear. I cannot be faithless to my God and my Lord. I cannot belie these holy sacraments. I pray for those hundreds of thousands whose bodies still rot in the concentration camps of this state. I pray that the millions who stand on foreign battlefields will lay down their arms. I pray for victory for the orphan and the widowed of this country, and for the homeless of those other countries whose people have been enslaved. And I pray for this church and all other churches, that they shall remain open to the people, that they shall always be able to come here and find rest and solace and protection within these walls, in the benevolent shadow of these saintly images. In its highest sense, the church is a physical and spiritual salvation. It cannot and must not accept a state that is ruled by murder and assassination. The word of justice can find no response in the brown hearts of those who proclaim against freedom of thought. But let them know we can make no peace with a state that marches its youth to death, its workers to hunger, its women to slavery. We can make no peace with this state until we can once again maintain the simple dignity of our daily lives. They will torture us and imprison us as they have the pastors of the Protestant Church. They will accuse us of foul crimes as they have the leaders of the Catholic Church. They will try to silence us and close these doors, so that you, who protest against the law of blood, can find no meeting place. But let them know that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I ask you to remain quiet. The police have arrived. They that make the boast of the law through breaking the law, dishonoring God. Friends, farewell. I shall not be alone. Along with the thousands of brave German workers, with poets, statesmen, with all the nameless millions who have died and who are yet to die before this regime falls, I take my place. We are the people. We are Germany and Austria and Bohemia and Greece and Poland, and they, our rulers, are the enemy. Pray not for my liberation, but for the liberation of a great people. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters.
Fire!
He restoreth my soul.
The voice of victory is heard inside Germany, proclaiming defeat for Hitlerism, as it is heard throughout Europe in every occupied country. This year, there were no Easter services in those countries. In Norway, the Nazi-controlled government placed the clergymen under arrest to prevent their preaching. There is no school in Norway because the teachers have resigned rather than teach Nazi ideology. And over 2,000 of them are under arrest. But that will change. It must change. And that is our job. If ever there was a people's war, this is it. A war for freedom. We no longer call United States bonds defense bonds. They are now war bonds and war savings stamps. Buy them. Join the Treasury payroll savings plan wherever you work. War bonds and war savings stamps are the best way of investing in and safeguarding the future of America. This is your country. Keep it yours.